Good morning. It's a real joy to be here with you. The Lord gave us a wonderful time at camp, and we just praise the Lord for it. And it's good to be here at Life again. Now, will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. I want to talk to you this morning about the duty of the father in the Christian home. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 22, and going through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul discusses the Christian home. In verses 22 through 24, he discusses the duty of the wife in the Christian home. Her duty is to be obedient unto her own husband. In verses 25 through 33 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul discusses the duty of the husband in the Christian home. He is to love his wife. And then in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul discusses the duty of the children in the Christian home. They are to obey their parents. And then we come to verse 4 of chapter 6, and here the Apostle Paul discusses the duty of the father in the Christian home. Now, I want you to notice the way he starts verse 4, "And ye fathers." Here the Apostle Paul singles out fathers, and he addresses special words to them in which he informs them of their duty. Now, this letter was read out loud in the church of Ephesus, and there were fathers there to hear this letter. Now, this tells us something about these fathers. These fathers didn't send their children to church. They brought them to church. And this is something that we as fathers need to do. If we send our children to church, what message are we giving them? We are telling them that as far as we fathers are concerned, church is not that important. We're telling them that as far as we fathers are concerned, church is not really a priority. And they're going to grow up and they're going to say, well, Dad didn't go to church. He didn't think it was important. He didn't think it was a priority. Why should I? But that's not what we are to do. We're not to send our children to church. We are to bring them to church. And here you have a beautiful picture of the entire family. Father, mother, and children in the house of the Lord. Now, Paul goes on to spell out the duty of the father in the Christian home. Now, what he's going to do is to give that duty first from the negative aspect. He's going to tell us what the father is not to do. And then he's going to give it from the positive aspect, what it is the father is to do. Now, let's look at the duty of the father first from the negative aspect. He is not to excite angry feelings in the heart of his child. Now, notice what Paul says. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now, the words "provoke not to wrath" come from one Greek word. That word means to rouse to wrath, to provoke, to exasperate. Thus, Paul says, fathers, you're not to provoke your children. You're not to exasperate your children. You're not to rouse your children to wrath or to anger. Now, how can a father do that? I want to briefly suggest four ways to you by which a father can excite angry feelings in the heart of his child. The first way is by unjust punishments. Here is a father, and he's told that his child has done something wrong. He doesn't bother to investigate. He just goes home and punishes the child. Now, suppose that child is innocent. Suppose that child didn't do it. What do you suppose that's going to do to that child? That's going to excite angry feelings in the heart of that child, because that child knows that that punishment is not deserved. Now, what are we as fathers to do? When someone tells us our child has done something, we just don't go off and punish the child immediately. We investigate it. We find out whether or not our child is guilty. And then if our child is guilty, we punish the child. And when we do it, it will not excite angry feelings in the heart of that child. Once there was a father, and he had a daughter, and the daughter had a girlfriend. Well, the daughter and the girlfriend decided they were going to make another girl in their neighborhood mad. The daughter wrote a letter to her girlfriend and spelled out exactly how they were going to do it. And they did it just that way, and it was successful. It made that girl mad. The father was told about it, but he investigated the matter. And as he was investigating, guess what he found? The letter his daughter had written to the girl. He confronted his daughter. At first, his daughter didn't want to own up to it. And then the father showed her the letter. She said, "I can't do anything without you finding out." The father said, "Well, the Lord helps me to find out what I need to know." Now, the father punished that daughter, but it didn't excite angry feelings in her because she knew the punishment was deserved. Now, the second way a father can excite angry feelings in the heart of his child: by punishing the child more severely than the offense deserves. Here is a father, and he is told that his child has done something wrong. And he becomes very angry. And in a fit of anger, he punishes his child. But the punishment is far more severe than the offense deserves. And the child knows that. What do you think that's going to do to that child? It is going to excite angry feelings in the heart of that child. Now, what is the father to do? What the father is to do is to make sure the punishment fits the offense that has been committed. There was a principle that was given to judges in the Old Testament when they would sentence people who had broken the law. The principle was that the punishment was to fit the crime. And that's a good principle for us as fathers to follow, that the punishment is to fit the offense. If it's a greater offense, then a greater punishment. If it's a lesser offense, a lesser punishment. A father went out one time, and he cut his front lawn, the grass. And then he decided that he was going to put flowers in front of the family room window. And so he dug the area up, and he planted flowers there. He could just envision beautiful flowers growing up in front of that family room window. Then he went around back to cut the back. After he finished the back, he came to the front again just to check things out, and he noticed that the ground in front of that window wasn't as he left it. It had been all dug up. There were crooked sticks all over the place. The father investigated, and he discovered that his daughter and a girlfriend decided that would be a nice place to plant corn and pole beans. Now, can't you imagine corn and pole beans growing up in front of your family room window and sitting there and looking at corn and pole beans? Well, the father punished the daughter, but very lightly. Just enough to make sure that the next time the daughter would know that she should ask permission before she did such a thing. But later on, the mother asked that same daughter, "Do you have any homework tonight?" The daughter said, No, I don't have any homework tonight." The father found out later on that she did have homework that night. that she had lied. And so the father confronted her. At first, she didn't want to own up to it. But eventually, she owned up to it. Now, the father had taught his daughter the Ten Commandments. And so the father said, "Now, tell me, what is the ninth commandment?" She said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." The father said, "What does that mean?" "It means to tell the truth." Her head dropped. She knew she hadn't done it. Now, the father punished her for that, but that a punishment was greater than the other. Because it's one thing to do something without permission, and it's another thing to lie. The father made the punishment fit the offense in each case. And as a result, angry feelings weren't excited in the heart of his child. A third way to do it is by showing partiality. Here is a father who has two children. He'll let the one get away with a number of things, but he won't let the other one get away with the same things. He'll do things for the one, but he won't do the same things for the other. Now, what is that father doing? He is showing partiality. Now, don't you think that that other child notices that? Sure, that other child notices that. And that is going to excite angry feelings in the heart of that child. Now, what should a father do if he has more than one child? He needs to make sure that he loves those children equally and that those children know it. And he needs to make sure that he treats those children equally as well. If he does that, he will not kindle angry feelings in the heart of his child. Now, there's one more way a father can excite angry feelings in the heart of his child, and that is by unreasonable commands. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 makes it very clear that parents have the authority to tell their children what to do. Children are to obey their parents. That implies the parents have the authority to tell their children what to do. The father has that authority. Now, the father is to make sure that when he tells his child what to do, that it is a reasonable command and not an unreasonable command. Let me illustrate. Here is a father, and when he was in school, he got all A's. He worked hard. He got all A's. And so he has a child. And he insists that that child do what he did, that that child get all A's. But suppose that child doesn't have the capability of getting all A's. Suppose that child were to do his very best, but the best he could get would a B. Was a B. And here is the father insisting that he get all A's. What is that father going to do? He's going to excite angry feelings in the heart of that child because that child has done his very best, and yet he can't please his father because his father insists that he get all A's. Now listen, if the child can get all A's and the father knows he has the ability, then the father wants to do everything he can to motivate that child, to give incentives to that child to get all A's. But the father is not to insist that that child get all A's if that child doesn't have the capability of doing it. And if he does, he's going to excite angry feelings in the heart of that child. Now, here are four ways by which a father can violate the commandment, and this is a commandment, not to excite angry feelings in the heart of his child. He can do it by unjust punishments. He can do it by giving a punishment that is more severe than the offense calls for. He can do it by showing partiality or by giving unreasonable commands. But now let's look at the duty of the father from the positive standpoint. What is it that the father is to do? And the Apostle Paul spells it out very clearly. He says that the Father is to bring up his children by means of the instruction, the discipline, and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that his children will have the knowledge of God's word, the self-control, and the obedience to God's word that the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to have. Now, notice verse 4. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But, instead of doing that, bring them up. Now, listen carefully. This implies that the father is to control the way he brings up his children. He's just not to let them grow up any old way. Some fathers say, well, nobody controlled the way I grew up. I turned out all right. And my kid will turn out all right, too. Paul doesn't say that here. He says the father is to control the way he brings up his child. And he gives him an appointed means to use to bring up that child. He's to bring up that child by means of the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at that word nurture, because that word nurture includes two ideas. The first idea is this. It includes the idea that the father is to instruct his children in the word of God. Now, look up here, folks. We believe that the Bible is our only infallible rule of faith, what we believe, and practice what we do. Now, it is our duty as fathers to take our children and to instruct them in what this book says. How are they going to know what to believe if we don't instruct them in what this book says? We believe this book is what our children are to believe. And if we want our children to believe what's in this book, we have to instruct them in it. They're not going to get it in public school. They'll get it if they go to a Christian school, but they're not going to get it in public school. And you think of how much time is spent in instructing our children in this book. They come to church 1 hour on Sunday, maybe a little bit more in some cases. Some go to Sunday school. Not all of them go to Sunday school. Some of them may go to a youth meeting. How much is that? 3 hours a week. That's all that's spent in training your children in what the Word of God says. And Father, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility as a father, to get this truth into the minds of our children. They need to know what this book teaches about Jesus Christ. They need to know that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man in one person. They need to know that he died to bear the punishment of the sins of them who would believe in him. That he was buried and bodily rose again. They need to know that he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for those who believe in him. And that one day he's coming again. They need to know what this book teaches regarding the various doctrines of the Christian faith. They need to have these things in mind. They need to know how to be saved. They need to know that if they're going to be saved, they need to repent of their sin, trust Jesus as the one who took their place on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty of their sins. And if they believe that, repent of their sins, and believe that Jesus was raised bodily from the dead, they will be saved. It is our responsibility to get those truths into the minds of our children. We need to teach them to pray and how to pray. That's our responsibility. Not only that, but we need to teach our children how they are to live in this present world. What do we say? This Bible is our only infallible rule of faith, what we believe, and what else? Practice what we do. Do you want your children to live according to the principles of this book? This is the objective standard by which God has given us to live. We are to live our lives according to this standard. Well, how do you expect your children to live according to this standard if you don't teach them? They need to know what this standard is so that they can live their lives according to it. And Father, that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. We need to take the time, and you can pick the time. It may be after dinner, maybe before they go to bed, it may be as you travel on trips. But you need to take the time, I need to take the time, to make sure our children know the standard of conduct by which they are to live and what it is that they are to believe. But you say, preacher, you don't know my schedule. I'm trying to provide for my family. And if you saw my schedule, you wouldn't say that. Well, Father, if you're too busy to do this, now listen, I say this lovingly and respectfully. If you're too busy to do this, you are too busy. God has given you your children. And He's told you in this book the responsibility that you have to bring up your children by instructing them in this book. Now, it's true, you can delegate some of it to your wife, to the mother, but not all of it. Your children need to hear some of this coming from you. Don't rob your children of the memory of a father who would sit down with them and teach them what this book says. You need to make sure you do it. And as you do it, there are different materials you can use. There are materials for little ones, for teenagers. And then there's always the children's catechism. You can use that. And you can make it fun for them. Don't get to the place where every time you sit down, your children are going to say, oh no, this again. No, you don't want that. You want them to enjoy it. We used to have a wonderful time teaching our children the children's catechism. And we taught them the Ten Commandments so that they would know what they are. And when we would go over them, you know what my children would do? They would always try to arrange it so I would get Commandment 2, 4, and 10. You know why? They're the longest ones. And they wanted me to get them. And then my daughter, the oldest one in particular, there was one question that says, why do you need Christ as a prophet? And so I would say, because we're ignorant. Oh, no, 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 Daddy. You've got to say the exact words that are there. You see, she wanted me to say, because I am ignorant. She just wanted to hear me say I was ignorant. But make it a joyful time for them so that they will look forward to it and that they will learn this book. We are to instruct our children in what to believe. This book tells us what our children believe. If you want them to grow up believing what this book says, you need to teach it to them. And you need to teach them how to live. This is God's objective standard for all men by which they are to live. And we need to teach that to our children. But this word nurture also involves something else. It also involves discipline. And we are to discipline our children so that they will have the self-control that the Lord Jesus wants them to have. Now, many times what a father will do will say, I'll let the mother take care of the discipline. Dad, you're not to do that. The mother can take care of it, some of it. But what some dads do is shift it all over to mom. Mom is the bad guy, the guy that does all the disciplining. The father is the guy that gives the candy and the money and the presents. No, you're not to do that. The children are to understand that that discipline comes from you. And make sure that if your wife disciplines the child, that you don't overrule her. And also make sure that you don't allow the children to play one parent against the other. You know, they're very good at that. The child will go and say, Mommy, can I do this? No, you can't do this. She'll go to Daddy. She won't say she's already asked Mommy.
Danny, can I do this?
Yeah, you can do it. Then goes back to mom. Danny said I can do it. Well, when the child comes to you, did you ask your mother? Well, see, that pretty well takes care of it. Make sure that you work together in disciplining your children so that they will have the self-control that Jesus wants them to have. Now, notice that Paul says, we're to bring up our children by means of the nurture. That includes instruction in God's word, discipline, and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to admonish our children to obey the word of God, to live by this standard. Now, your children will be in school. And when they're in school, not everybody in school is going to live by this standard. And you need to admonish your children, regardless of what the other students do at school, to live by this standard. You need to admonish your children, regardless of what standard their friends live by, to live by this standard, to be obedient to the will of the Lord as revealed in the Word of God. Here then, Paul says, is the means the father is to use to bring up his children. He is to instruct them in the Word of God. He is to discipline them. He is to admonish them so that they will have the knowledge of God's Word, both as to what they are to believe and how they are to live, so that they will have self-control and that they will live a life of obedience to this book. Now, notice Paul says, but bring them up by means of the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul is saying is the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is to instruct your children, to discipline your children, and to admonish your children. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Jesus Christ is up there in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. How can he instruct, discipline, and admonish my children? You know how he does it? He does it through you, Father, as the organ. When I was teaching at Faith Seminary, the Lord saw fit to lay this built-in amplifying system aside for a while. And I couldn't teach. One of the courses I was teaching was Hebrew. I had two assistants, and I had two sections in it. Well, you just don't grab everybody and anybody and say, now you go teach Hebrew. I couldn't be in the class, but what I did was take my two assistants, and I gave them the material for each day. I gave them the assignment. I gave them the test, the key to the test. And though I wasn't physically present in that class, I taught that class through them, and the students did pretty well. Now, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He instructs, disciplines, and admonishes our children through us as fathers. Here, then, is the duty of the father in the Christian home. Negatively, he is not to excite angry feelings in the heart of his child. We can do that by unjust punishments, by a punishment that's more severe than the offense deserves, by showing partiality, by unreasonable commands. On the positive side, the father is to bring up his children in a certain way, and that way is by means of the instruction, discipline, and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that those children will have the knowledge of God's word about what they are to believe and how they are to live, and the self-control and the obedience to God's word that he wants them to have. Dr. Harry Ironside was a great preacher of the word of God, and he tells this story. He said one time there was a student who was in graduate school, and she came to him, and she was very bitter. She said, Dr. Ironside, I'm in deep spiritual distress. And the sad thing is, my father is a minister of the gospel. but I don't feel I can go to him and talk to him about it. She said he kept all of his religion for the pulpit. She said the only time I ever heard him pray was from the pulpit. The only time I ever heard him read the Bible was from the pulpit. She said he never once prayed with us at home. He never once gathered us together and read the Word of God and taught it to us. And now that I need someone, I just don't feel I can go to him. You see what that father did? He robbed his daughter of one of the most precious things that she could ever have. And that's a memory of a daddy who would sit down with her and pray with her. A daddy who would open the Word of God to her and teach it to her. Fathers, don't do that to your children. Don't steal from them that memory. The only way they're going to have it is if you sit down with your children and pray with them. If you sit down with your children and read the Word of God to them and teach the Word of God to them, then when they grow up and they have a problem, they'll remember how you helped them back there, and they'll want to come to you again.